Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 427, the third stanza. The Lord's right hand is high exalted. Jehovah's strong and mighty hand, and a vaunting enemy he halted, and made his chosen ones to stand. And what follows in the third stanza of Psalter 427.
The portion of scripture to be read this afternoon can be found in the book of Numbers, thereof chapter 24, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Numbers 24. Now when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. And the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God, and which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel! As the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the river's side, as the trees of Linalus, which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. He shall eat up the nations his enemies, and shall break their bones, and pierce them through with his arrows. He crouched, he lay down as a lion, and as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I called thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. And Balaam said unto Balak, Spake I not also to thy messengers which thou sentest unto me, saying, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own mind. But what the Lord saith, that will I speak. And now, behold, I go unto my people. Come therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God, and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession, Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. And he looked on the Kenites, and took up his parable and said, Strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in a rock. Nevertheless, the Kenites shall be wasted, until Asher shall carry thee away captive. And he took up his parable and said, Alas, who shall live when God doeth this? And ships shall come from the coast of Chittim, and shall afflict Asher, and shall afflict Eber, and he also shall perish forever. And Balaam rose up, and went, and returned to his place. And Balak also went his way.
We hope to remember in prayer the family of Peter Hager, whose sister-in-law passed away in the Netherlands in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou fill us with humility and a deep sense of our unworthiness? and a sense of thy majesty and of thy greatness, of thy righteousness and of thy holiness. And that we may stand in awe as we attempt to speak unto thee, the Most High God. And that we draw nigh unto thee with an upright heart, with no intention to hide from thee anything, for thou art everywhere and thou knowest the inmost recesses of our hearts. And wilt thou remember all those that mourn, and those that mourn, those who have passed away, far away in the Netherlands, and others also that do mourn, wilt thou remember them each and every one together? And wilt thou give us, as thou dost say in thy word, call upon me. In the day of thy trouble, I will answer thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And there are so many troubles in the midst of this world, and the missing of one another, husbands and wives, children, their mothers and their fathers, and all those whom that we do love. Lord, there are so many sicknesses. Wilt thou remember them also, and that do draw near unto the gates of death and have pain and trouble, and those that do not have a mind anymore to be able to concentrate and to think, and O Lord, that thou may give also a cry to thee in all the ways of difficulty, trial, tribulation, and affliction, which is coming upon young and old as a consequence of our own sin and guilt. Thou art so righteous when thou dost deal so with us. And yet, O Lord, that thou may give to us that trouble and in the depth of our soul that we may see what our guilt and what our sin is, that we might feel it, that it may grieve us to the bottom of our hearts, for thou art such a good-doing God. Thy servant did say, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. That thou may give it in the heart of each and every one of us. And when thou wilt pour out thy love in our hearts, then we shall receive a true repentance, a sorrow for all our iniquity and all of our sin. The wretchedness that is living in our hearts each and every day. For we do not serve thee as we ought. We are thy creatures in this world. And thou hast made us to serve thee, to glorify and to magnify thee. And we have chosen thine enemy here that we may walk in his ways after all the sin and the world. That thou may grant us true conversion. Turn us, Lord, and we shall be turned. For there is no man that has strength, that spiritual strength to give unto himself that love of thee in his heart. But thou can give it unto us in one moment. It is thy work, O Lord, to give new hearts, a heart of flesh, a heart that is tender, that is afraid to step over a straw, or that is afraid to sin against thee and one another, that desires thy blessed communion and thy favor, that desires to enter into the mysteries of thy free and sovereign grace, wherewith that thou dost bless thy own people. That we may be given each and every one hearts for the first time, but also by renewal. For thou knowest each and every one of thy people. Then they also have to mourn. because of a heart that is so hard and dead and cold and earthly minded. Oh, that it is only Thee who art able to stir up what Thou hast wrought in their soul. Oh, Lord, wilt Thou do it unto each and every one of us, that there may be truly a hungering and a thirsting that is going up unto Thee, even as we can read it in Thy holy word, as the heart panteth for the water brooks. So longeth my soul after Thee, O God. Oh, that it may live and dwell and burn in the heart of each and every one of us, and that our sin may be a grief and a cause of great humility, and that we may go over this world with a heart that is bowed down because of our iniquity, and that has to be lifted up by Thee alone, because we cannot change our state and our condition. O Lord, then everything that has to come from Thy sight, but we have heard it in this morning hour out of Thy precious and holy word, that Thou wast willing to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of Thy counsel, so that Thou hast sworn it with an oath, that by two immutable things Thou hast shown things that show that Thou art not able to lie and that Thou art not able to change. Then Thou dost show the immutability, the unchangeableness of Thy counsel and of Thy covenant. Oh, that Thou may give unto each and every one of us to see how firm and how sure that church that is standing upon that solid rock, and that there is no sin that is able to come in between that love that Thou hast said, I have loved Thee with an everlasting love. And then there is nothing that Thy church is able to do that is able to take away that love. And yet Thou dost say what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Oh, then wilt Thou remember us together and deal with us as sons? Oh, that Thou wouldst chastise us in Thy mercy and in Thy love, but not in Thine anger, lest Thou bring us to nothing. But wilt Thou indeed keep us from going our own way, because we go astray and we depart from Thee days without number. Oh, seek us out again for the first time and by renewal. And wilt Thou supply for each and every one in all the needs and in all the cares of this life. For there are many sorrows concerning children also, that have left Thy holy word and truth. Lord, Thou art able to bring them back again. Thou art able to speak, even as Thou hast spoken in the life of that prodigal. And Thou didst make it so that his life that did become so empty, that he may expend all his substance with his riotous living and end in that pigsty. Lord, wilt Thou grant in that place that there may be those that look again toward Thy holy temple as Thy servant in the bottom of the fish, in the bottom of the ocean. Oh, that Thou may give a trembling, that Thou may give a turning again, and a looking unto Thy grace and unto Thy mercy. Oh, that Thy dear and Thy only begotten Son, and all that He has accomplished for the sake of His church, may be the blessed object of an eye of faith to those as a Manasseh who have brought themselves into the prison, and as a Saul of Tarsus who has been sitting in the darkness. O Lord, that Thou may look upon those who are in the prisons, Oh, give true repentance and draw once again to thyself. Remember all those that rule and reign over us. Wilt thou give in the countries in which we do live a turning again to thy word and to thy everlasting testimony, and that thou may remember all those that bring thy word over the length and breadth of this whole world. Oh, do increase the number of thy truly sent servants, and that thou may help all thy servants on the mission field in the established congregations. And the students wilt thou be on their right and on their left hand, and wilt thou give what is necessary also to the instructors, and wilt thou give thy word a place in the hearts of multitudes in the days in which we may live. Oh, could it please thee to give a revival in the countries that we may live in, but also may it be even in our own denomination. For, Lord, thou knowest how quiet that it is. Oh, that thou may work, and that thou may give new ones to be born in Zion, and that we may be given also one day to rejoice in that hand of the Lord that was stretched out also amongst us, that thou may give clarity in the mind in this afternoon, and that we may bring thy word, that it may be in also for our children understandable, and yet, O Lord, that it may be a word from thee. For we do not know the hearts of men, but thou who art all-knowing, and thou who art almighty, and who art able to bring that word in the heart. Oh, could it be for conviction and for convincing of sin, that there may be those who may become the guilty one for the first time in our life, though that we have all our life come unto the house of the Lord, even as a religious Pharisee. We have looked down perhaps upon others, but oh, that that hand may be given to go into to our own bosom in this day, and that it may be brought out unclean for the first time or by renewal, and that thou may give a need and a desire and the opening of that way of free and sovereign grace. Look upon us and help us, that thou wouldst be in the midst of us as we attempt to speak and to bring thy precious word. And wilt thou make it precious unto each and every one of us, young and old? We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 415, stanzas 7, 9, and 10. Yea, the secret of Jehovah is with those who fear his name. With his friends in tender mercy, he his covenant will maintain. And the last collection today is for the Calvin Christian School, 415, stanzas 7, 9, and 10. Beloved congregation, today marks the beginning of the Advent season. What is Advent? In Advent season, then we speak about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. There is no greater event that has taken place in this world since our creation and since our fall than the birth of Christ. And there is no event that has had more effect upon man than this incarnation to change both the state and the condition of a fallen mankind who was not able to change that state and condition in and of himself. For 6,000 years, this world has existed. And for 2,000 years, that birth, that coming of Christ, that has been proclaimed after his birth. We are responsible for this. It is what we will have to give an answer for when we are standing before him in judgment. Because for us, the truth, the validity of all of the prophecies and the promises of his coming, they are made so very, very clear that we may see children, young people, that we may read in the Word of God what has been promised in the days of old, when we may read this and we may read in the history of the world in which we are living, and the fulfillment, the exact, the precise fulfillment of his word, then we have an unmistakable evidence of the truth of that word and of the existence of its primary author, the Lord himself. Because for 4,000 years before this time, that people had heard and never seen. We can read the Apostle Paul. He speaks even about the heroes of faith. And then he says, and these all, having received a good report through faith, that is, things that were shown unto them by the Lord himself, and that they may believe that word of God, they received not the promise. God, having provided us some better thing, that they without us should not be made perfect. Thus, they received a good report through faith. That was of the true church of God, but they have never seen the fulfillment of that promise, and yet they believed it, and they were not made ashamed, as none will be made ashamed who believe in him. We wish to consider one of these prophecies in this afternoon with the Lord's help, as we have read it together from Numbers chapter 24 and thereof the 17th verse. Numbers 24 verse 17. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. So far, the words of our text. Balaam's prophecy of the coming Messiah. First, the time of his coming. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. Second, the sign of his coming. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And last, the effect of his coming, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth. Thus Balaam's prophecy of the coming Messiah, first, the time of his coming, second, the sign of his coming, and last, the effect of his coming. I shall see him. Who says that? That is Balaam. Who is Balaam? The Bible calls Balaam a soothsayer. Thus, he is one that did divine. He is one that did call upon the gods. This soothsayer that was very evidently a man of renown. We read of him that he was the son of Beor, of Pether, of Mesopotamia. And yet, this Balak, the king of Moab, he has heard of him. And he has called him, he has desired him that he would come unto him. Why does Balak call him? Well, he is afraid. And why is Balak afraid? Who is Balak afraid of, boys and girls? He is afraid of Israel, the children of Israel. He is afraid of God's people. That is something. Say, who was Israel? They were not mighty warriors in this world. No, they were redeemed slaves. And yet, what do we read? And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people, because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. Thus, they are fearful. Do you know what Moses had said unto the children of Israel? He said that from the Lord. The Lord said concerning that people, he said, I will lay the fear of you, and I will lay the dread of you upon every people, upon every nation in whose land thou art come to tread. And so we read he did. Moab is afraid. But Moab actually did not need to be afraid. And why not? Because the children of Israel, they were forbidden by the Lord that they should come against the Moabites in battle. The Lord had said concerning them that he was not going to give them their land. He said that he had given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. Thus, most likely, Moses has also informed Balak that the Moabites have known of this at that time. But that is a people that have left the God of their father Lot. So that people, they are sitting with a conscience that is speaking. And when our conscience that is speaking, then there is also fear in our hearts. And when our conscience that is speaking having left the truth, then it is also God's children who have maintained that truth. They become an offense unto us because their entire life that is a testimony of our sin. And every time that we see and consider that people, then our sin that is once again brought before us. Balak knows enough that his only hope, that is, if these people, they are coming not under his displeasure, but if these people, they are coming under the displeasure of God himself. Therefore, he seeks the curse that God would declare his displeasure against his people. What a foolishness. As if God will curse his own nation, whom he has delivered out of the land of Egypt by a mighty hand, as if God would curse that people. Yes, Balak also feels something of this. He does not seek out one of the true prophets of the Lord. No, but he seeks out Balaam, the soothsayer. Just as if a statement that is made by such a man will be sufficient to condemn the people. It is really nothing but superstition on the part of Balak. Are you superstitious, young people? There are people who are superstitious in this world, and you are going to meet such people in this world. Oh, then you have to see that all of this is foolishness. Solomon, he says, the curse causeless shall not come. And yet there are people that are fearing. Fearing because of the sayings of those that actually they are coming from hell. We hope you never have your place among such a people that are reading palms, young people, and doing all sorts of other things. We see that even here in our own town. I shall see him. Balaam, he is not a God-fearing man. And yet God, he is speaking in this time, in this manner, through Balaam. That is a wonder. We cannot understand this, but we see how free that the Lord is. Balaam, he is a wicked man. Balaam, he is a covetous man. Balaam is a man who desires money. He desires rich gifts that are offered unto him from this king, from this Balak. Balaam cares not for God. Balaam cares not for God's people. Balaam cares not for the truth. No, God must force Balaam. That is not the same as God, he has inspired the writers of the Holy Writ, whose characters he did use to make known his revealed will in his word, but he had to force Balaam against his own will that he may prophesy the truth that he had given unto him in his mind. Peter speaks about Balaam in the New Testament and about all those who are like Balaam. He says these are wells without water. He says they are winds, they are carried about of a tempest. He says the mist of darkness is reserved for this people forever. What does Balaam say? He takes up his parable, we read. Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said, and a man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, Balaam, he boasts. Having his eyes open, he said, indeed, his eyes were open that he may see the vision of the Almighty. But that vision, that did not benefit himself. That vision actually, that was for him an awful judgment. Balaam, he is actually nothing more than scaffolding. You know what scaffolding is, children? They are not using that here. But when they build a building, then they will put sometimes up wood that they can climb on all around that building. They can climb on and lay the bricks. When that beautiful building is all done, and what do they do with that scaffolding? And they take it down, they throw it in the fire, and they burn it because it is not part of the building. But it was used to build the building. So we see here also it is with Balaam. That is a man, he is used by the hand of the Lord to build the building, to build the church, to comfort the church. This man is given gifts. He is given gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord will use him to build his church, and afterwards he will cast him into the fire. Is that not an awful thought? All the most blessed gifts, spiritual gifts that a man may have. A man may have an office, and it all be from the Lord. Think of Judas. And that says nothing about that man. The gifts that he has received, and the office that he has received, that says nothing about that man. No, it can be that such a man, he is used to build the church of God, and he is afterwards cast into the fire. Balaam boasts. He heard the words of God, but he never obeyed them. Yes, he obeyed them. He obeyed them literally, but he did not obey them in his heart. Balaam, he had the knowledge, we read, of the Most High. And he did. But he did not benefit by that knowledge. Balaam, he had light. Do you have light ever? Man can have light even into the Word of God. You know what he missed? He had light, but he had no love. He had truth. He knew the truth. He saw the truth. But he had no grace. He had insight. Insight that the Lord had given unto him. But he had no faith. Or he was brought into the nearness of God. But he was never brought into the favor of God. He is as those we can read of in the Word of God, that they have received that heavenly gift, and afterwards, they have fallen away. So close. So very, very, very close. and yet so far away. How is it with us? Because we are also so close. So very, very close. But are we also so very, very far away? Why is it there was no bowing? There is no bowing under God Himself. There was no sorrow for sin. There was no way of repentance. Yet He is used. He is used despite His own wickedness. Oh, how is that for us? Oh, then a man, he can be used despite who he is. Then you have not to be concerned with who an office bearer is. No, you have to be concerned with that word of God, that office that is given unto him by the Lord. I shall see him. The containing that says, or I do see him. That is by way of a prophetic vision that Balaam sees him. He says, thus he says, I see him, but not now, because he is not yet. He sees him coming. He sees him in the future. He sees through the mist of many generations, and he prophesies of that which is one day going to come to pass. He says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. Thus he says, the time is coming, but the time that is not yet. And he is glad. He is glad that he may receive this message from the Lord, that it is not yet. Why? Because he has no desire to displease Balak. He wants to please him that he may receive all the gifts. And now he may say to Balak, Balak, I have to speak to you the word of God, but it is, as it were, a mollification. That he may take his ease and say, Balak, well, it will come in the future generations. It is not going to affect you, and it is not going to affect your own kingdom. Are we also glad when we say it is future? Then we say, well, we think that that coming of the Lord upon the clouds, that it is not actually imminent, because there are things that need to take place yet that are written in the Word of God. Oh, then are you glad? Then you say that does not affect me. Then you say that is something that is going to come ages and generations into the future. I shall see him, but not now. Oh, you say, who is that? Him that he prophesies about. Balaam actually does not say that. You know who it is, children? I shall see him. I think you know who that is. And that is often so, that his name is not said. It is not said sometimes by his own children. Read in the Song of Solomon. Oh, then she does not need to say his name. Because that is he of whom that she is always thinking, that she is always desiring, that she is always drawing nigh unto. And that be known by others. And then she has not to say his name. And that is also sometimes the way with prophecy, as it is here. But we can hear who it is. We hear something of that in our second thought. The sign of his coming. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. our first parents, when they had to experience sin in all of its evil and in all of its awful consequences, then the Lord came. Then the Lord came and He revealed Himself. And He gave to them a promise of His own coming. And that was so sweet to the ears of our first parents. Because the Lord, He is revealing Himself always in a way that is suitable to the condition of His people. Thus the Lord, He is coming to reveal Himself in His humanity unto our first parents. And then we can see how that our first parents, they were sent out of that garden, and they are now all alone. When before that they have lived in that blessed communion with the Lord. And now they are cast out of His presence. So we can imagine the loneliness that they have felt, under which the Lord has promised that He will come as the seed of the woman. And so the sweetness of that promise that was tasted by our first parents, slowly, through the ages of the Old Testament, then the Lord, He has revealed Himself more and more in all different aspects of who that second person was going to be. And here we can read that the Lord, He is revealing Himself in His royalty. And there shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall arise out of Israel. Again, a suitable representation of the Lord in His royalty, of the Lord in His majesty, that the Lord, He is going to come as the King of His church. And why? Why is that so especially significant at this time? Well, because this people, they were lying under a plot. They did not know that. They are lying down there in the valley. And upon the mount is Balak. And He has brought Balaam up that he may view all of this people below him. And thus that people, they do not know what is happening there up upon that mountain. But there are those who are plotting. They are plotting their destruction. If they can get Balaam to curse that people, then everything will be well. And now, the Lord, He is revealing Himself in this way, in His majesty, in His might, in His protection of His own people. Israel has no evil intentions against those Moabites. And yet Balak, he is seeking their destruction. Why? That is what is coming out of the pit. That has to do with that everlasting warfare between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. So we see Haman. He is building a gallows for Mordecai. He is sleeping. He is sleeping. Fast asleep. He does not realize that those gallows are being built for him. And that the next day, that man will go in unto the king to speak unto the king that he shall go on those gallows. Oh, so we see this people. They are also lying under this plot. But the Lord, He is above it. And the Lord, He is looking down. And the Lord, He is watching over His people. Do you need to protect yourself, people of the Lord, from all of your enemies? Do you need to protect yourself? Can you protect yourself? Say, that is impossible. That is right. Oh, that place upon the knee. To cry to Him who alone is able to protect, because you do not even know the wiles of that prince of this world and what the next plot is that he may take you down. And there shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Actually, it says in the original, a star comes forth out of Jacob, and the scepter shall rise out of Israel. Thus, a star is going to usher in the scepter. A star that is going to usher in the kingdom. The Jews expected a star because they have also known this prophecy. Thus, it is written in their books. And yet they have not looked for, yet they have not seen that star, but the wise men, boys and girls, all we know that they have seen that star and they have believed that prophecy, and the Lord, He has rewarded the efforts that they have put forth when they have sought out that young child. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. How many celebrations are there when the kingdoms of this world are brought into being? But there is not one of them that is ushered in by a star from heaven. Oh, what more could show something of the greatness, of the majesty, of the power, of the divinity of this kingdom? Thus it is an illustrious prophecy of the glory and of the luster of the kingdom of God, and how that the Lord, He is going to bring in His own king. So many years later, the Lord, He is promising that He will send unto His people the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Lord shows even in the signs how great and how glorious and how majestic that kingdom is going to be. But now that prophecy, that is not just happening in thin air. That is not happening in a vacuum. No, the prophecy that is coming in the circumstances that God's children, they are laying in. Thus we say that is coming at a time when God's people, they are laying under a plot for their destruction. That is what is now making for the blessed sweetness of that promise. But let us sing first from Psalter 45, stanzas 1, 4, 5, and 6. Now the king in thy strength shall be joyful, O Lord. Thy salvation shall make him rejoice. For the wish of his heart thou didst freely accord, the request of his suppliant voice. 1, 4, 5, and 6 of Psalter 45. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. What did Balak hire Balaam to do? You say he hired him that he may curse them. But he did not curse them. No, he may not curse them. He had from the Lord to bless them. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Indeed, that curse that was desired by Balak was actually turned upon Balak and of the Moabites. For what do we read? And shall smite the corners of Moab. What are the corners of Moab? You will, if you see pictures, sometimes children of a city, and you see the wall around the city, that is a wall of defense, that is to keep out the enemy. And then you will see so often on the very corner of the wall, you will see a fortress, you will see a tower. Thus, it was the corners of the wall that had to be built up. They had to be fortified. They were then the very strongest part of that wall. So that if the very corners of that wall were smitten, then indeed that city that had no hope anymore, because the very strongest part of that wall that was smitten, and thus the weakest parts, they will easily follow. It is possible also to translate the word to princes, and shall smite the princes of Moab, but that would have exactly the same meaning. Later, we read that Moses says to the children of Israel that a Moabite and an Ammonite, they may not come into the congregation of the Lord until their 10th generation. And wherefore, because the Lord says, they met you not with bread and water when you came out of Egypt, and because they have hired against you Balaam, the son of Beor of Pethor of Mesopotamia. Nevertheless, the Lord says, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam. And the Lord thy God has changed the blessing into a curse, because the Lord thy God loved thee. Thus, the Lord thy God has turned the blessing, the curse, into a blessing. That is what we read here. When the Lord, he is taking this which was supposed to be a curse out of the mouth of Balaam, and the Lord, he has brought a blessing instead out of that mouth of Balaam. When Balaam said that that coming king of Israel, he shall smite the corners of Moab, that means that he prophesies of the destruction of the enemies of Israel. And that was not only the plotting of the Moabites, but it was, we read, also all the children of Sheth. Thus, all the posterity of Seth, all of the enemies it is pointing to the people of the Lord. It says that the Lord, he shall unwall them. He shall break down their walls of defenses, and this king that was to come, this scepter that was to subdue all the nations, and he shall make them either subjects, willing subjects, because his arrows are mighty in the hand of in the heart of the king's enemies, or he shall consign them to condemnation. But the power of the protector of God's children, that will be manifest. We find a partial fulfillment of this in David, the king of Israel, because we read that he smote Moab and he measured them with a line, and those Moabites, they became David's servants. But David is herein a type. He is a type of this king that was to follow, which Balaam he is especially speaking about. And thus he is being prophesied of as him that will take away every enemy of the people of the Lord. This coming king. With his might, with his power, then he shall subdue everyone that is desiring the downfall of God's people. Thus that enemy can curse that people, but they are not able to destroy them. And why not? Because God, he is turning that curse into a blessing. That is now such a wonder. Has that ever also become a wonder unto us? Why? Why did the Lord do that for his people? When they were all laying there, and when that enemy, he has a desire to curse. Say, because the children of Israel, they were such a faithful people. They were a people that served the Lord. Is that so? When they were standing there on the borders of that land of Canaan after 40 years in that wilderness, is that what we read of that people? A good people? A faithful people? A patient people? A people who were subject unto the Lord always? And that were always laying themselves in all things subject to his will and his good pleasure, and whatever the Lord did that was good, and they had a desire always to walk in his commandments and his statutes and his judgments. Is that what we can read of the people? Read the opposite, do we not? 40 years long was I grieved with this generation. And yet the Lord, he turned the curse into a blessing. Why? He says it. He says, because the Lord thy God loved thee. There you have the reason. Oh, that curse that was so deserved on the side of Israel. You ever feel that? Perhaps there are those who sometimes feel something of that curse. And how well deserved that curse would be. By nature, we do not feel it. No, by nature we say, what have I done? I'm not as bad as other people. I'm actually much better because I come to church and I'm a religious man and I. But are now there those who feel something of that curse? What did Jacob say to his mother? He said, Mother, I shall receive the curse and not a blessing if I do this thing, if I do this sin, if I deceive my blind father. He was afraid of the curse. And how many of that church are not afraid of the curse? Are there not times that they see nothing but the curse? And when they do open the pages of God's holy writ, the curses that are written in this book, and the devil, and all of the enemies of the people, without and within, oh, they are ready also to curse and to apply the curse. And then they say, God has forsaken him, persecute and take him, because there are none to deliver him. We read of a curse in the day that Adam sinned. And God did send Adam out of his presence. There we read of a curse. But there we also read of something else. We read how that God turned that curse into a blessing. And he gave to our first parents the first promise. That was the first Advent promise. That was the first promise of that coming Messiah. And what did the Lord say concerning that man, that seed of the woman? It shall bruise his heel. Or he was going to lay that curse upon this man. Because that curse, that death of the cross, that is, we read, accursed of God. Do you know what Rebecca said to Jacob? She says, upon me be thy curse, my son. That is now what the Lord, he has said unto his church. Upon me be thy curse, my people. And so he has carried his cross unto Golgotha. And by that death he has done what? And by that death he has destroyed all the enemies, that which sought to condemn that true people of the Lord, so that those enemies, that sin itself, that cannot have dominion over God's people. Who did he smite? Say the devil put him there. Oh, it was there that he did smite the devil. He smote there the corners of Moab. That was the strongest part of that wall of the enemies. That was the devil himself. And thus it was upon that cursed tree that the corners, that the princes, that the prince of this world, he said it himself. He said, the prince of this world, he is now judged. And thus it was in that place that he has turned that curse into a blessing. Into a blessing. What does that mean? Well, because had that curse never been there, oh, awful sin, but had that curse never been there, man would have remained the friend of God to all eternity. Having done the will of God, according to his commandments, then so he would have lived with God as his friend. And now the Lord, he takes the curse and he makes the curse into a blessing by this king, because now he makes his children not the friends, but he makes his children the sons and the daughters of the Most High. Because he says, I am married unto you. O the Lord, he has destroyed at the corners of Moab, and the Lord, he has turned the curse into a blessing. Oh, where now are those who are not able to conquer that enemy? One sinful thought, one corrupt desire, one wandering desire, one evil motive that you cannot conquer. And it is by these that we bring that curse upon ourselves. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. And even until that very moment that that church is ready to enter into that promised land, oh Satan, he is still plotting that the Lord, he would destroy the people. What will be the next thing, people of the Lord? Will it be an affliction by which that you will rebel against the Lord, that Satan desires as Job to lay upon you? Oh, then he is plotting some persecution. Oh, maybe he is plotting prosperity, that it may draw away your heart after this world. Shall you stand under it? Maybe he is plotting some temptation that he may make you to fall. Are you able to uphold yourself? There is only one thing we can do, that is to bring ourselves under the curse. But he has now promised that he would send a star out of Jacob, and the scepter that would arise, and Lord, he would change that curse into a blessing, and that he will destroy the corners of Moab, and that he will destroy all the children of Seth. And now that promise, that is fulfilled. For whom? For a people who deserve it. For a people who have grieved him all their life long. 40 years in the wilderness. Oh, do not let, congregation, the greatness and the grossness of your sin, do not let it keep you away from the throne of grace. The Lord says, I do not do it for your sake. Oh, there is nothing that the Lord is not ready to forgive. And now for that people, there is nothing that is able to stand in the way between God and that people, because that curse that is now turned into a blessing, and the enemy that is forever put away by the King of Kings and by the Lord of Lords. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou who hast foretold it, has also accomplished it. And then there is nothing from our side that can bring us into thy favor. There is nothing from our side that can bring us into thy disfavor when we are only included in thy dear Son, as a subject of thee, and brought into that blessed union with thee. Then we are so safe. Then we are cared for by thee every moment. Then no one is able to touch, because then we are the apple of thine eye. Oh, do give in the midst of us a desire to be counted among that people. Oh, that we may see the blessedness of that people. That our hearts may go out unto thee with holy longings and desires. Give unto thy children a Sabbath day's rest. Oh, that they may be given to lay their whole life in thy hands. For they cannot protect themselves, but their estate and their that state that is so sure. There is no enemy, and there is no sin that shall have dominion over that people. Oh, that they may be given to a little rejoice in thee, that they may be given to rest in thee, that they may be given to magnify thee, and thy holy and worthy name, and thy dear and beloved Son. Bring us safely to our places. Help us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. Bless that which we may read in our own homes. And wilt thou give what we need in the week to come. Care for those that labor on the building. And remember all the labors that are done in thy church, in our homes, in our occupations, in the school. Wilt thou watch over each one? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 300, 1, 2, 8, and 9. O God, whom I delight to praise, to thee my cry for help I raise. Be thou my friend and advocate when foes assail with bitter hate. 1, 2, 8, and 9 of Psalter 300.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.